The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left! Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up. Shane Farrell at Chelsea 2-0.
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery into the back of the net. That is what champions do. That is what winners do. Pearl Slattery.
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal. Shelburne lead.
His cross sticks the biggest.
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute and yeah! It's all over!
Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello and welcome back to the 1895 podcast. The official podcast of Shelburne Football Club, and as always we're brought to you in association with our proud media partners Off the Ball. Head over to Off the Ball for all the latest news, podcasts and stories from whatever sport it is that grabs your attention. And as always we're available for free Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Before I introduce my guest today, get yourselves on Spotify or Apple Podcasts wherever you listen. Give us a like, give us a review if it's good. If it's bad, just send it straight to Darren Cleary. That's usually the best way to deal with it. So, today, to talk about a bumper week of Reds action and to preview a massive, massive game on Friday. First of all, a welcome back onto the pod. Reggie, how are you? We were really stuck, so we dragged you out of a bush to get you on.
Evening, Doody. Thanks for having me on. Always enjoy coming out of the bush to rescue you.
And a podcast debut for our newly appointed SLO, Mr. John Brennan. John, how are you?
I'm great, thanks, Mr. Doody, and thanks for having me on. I'm delighted to be involved.
No problem. The people wanted to hear from John Brennan.
Oh, yeah. I've had my hands full, let's just say that. Now, obviously, I took on the role last November, and it's a voluntary role. I've very much enjoyed it so far. There's obviously a couple of little things to be ironed out within the club that will eventually happen. So I think, I came in, it's been a baptism of fire, you could say, absolutely.
Yeah, I was texting you earlier on about tonight and I did say to you, it's probably the most thankless role in the entire club. Is that SLO role. You basically deal with people's gripes and issues they have within the club. You're that middle man. So it's probably best place to start with you, John. How did it come about? How did you find yourself in the role?
Well, I was always involved with the club on and off over the years. And I always, felt connected in some way, shape or form. Anyway, Darren was in touch with me. I think Darren was going to be taking on the media side of things. And he approached me and said, would this interest you? And I said, absolutely, yeah. And personally, I had a few bits going on in relation to my own wedding last year, process of getting a house sorted as well, having a young kid. It was all post-COVID. So I was probably at a stage where I was ready to get more involved with the club, more hands-on. And I think it was the right fit. I suppose I'd know a lot of the fan base, a lot of the demographic. I mix and match with a lot of people, and I would know a couple of the board members as well. So, yeah, I felt I could offer my services, and it was the right fit to get stuck into it.
We should probably actually get a bit of your background, John. How, like, I know this. Cleary and that would notice, but how did you come to start following the Reds? It's always a good place to start.
Yeah, well, my dad, PJ, is from Ringsend. He came from literally a stone's throw away from Shelbourne Park. Traditionally, the family would have been completely Shelbourne all along the South Lots Road. My mother settled on the north side, and he used to bring my older brothers and sisters to the games. And I was brought down, I think my first game would have been 93, 94. And I just was hooked since. I know it's cliche, but I just fell in love with it. I think as well, through the 90s, we had our good cup runs. We always had something to play for. The overall feel of it, I was just from a young age, I just connected to it, and I was hooked, then we came into my teenage years during the noughties, the glory years. Kept involved, obviously, in that way. And I suppose Ollie Byrne would have been a huge influence. Peter MacDonald, the late Peter MacDonald, would have been helping out around the ground, doing odd jobs, whatever it was. It was something that was just embedded into me, and I loved doing. Then obviously the dark days came. I was sitting 17, 18. I came to a stage, I was in college. What do we do here? It's not the same as it used to be. As this Monaco song goes. And I suppose it was just my loyalty, my pure passion, my love for the club that kept me involved. Many of the times I'd leave Talk on a Friday night in the first division and kind of actually have to say, who were we playing and did we win? Because it became more about the social side of things. I'm not afraid to say this, but the club is inked onto my skin. It's a huge part of my life. I'm home and away from a young age, Europe, up and down the country. That's my background into it. As much as I'd love to step away from it, it's no going back now.
Doesn't work like that, John. You don't get to get out. That's not the way these things work.
I'm learning the hard way.
Right, I did fill you in earlier on kind of what the plan was, what we were going to chat about. One thing I didn't let you in on, and Reggie, I'm going to get you in on this as well, because I now have a definitive list of questions. Some of them are either ours, some of them are just opinions, but every supporter, volunteer that comes on between now and the end of the season is going to get asked these exact questions. So, John, it's a bit of a baptism by fire, but look, it's a bit of crack. The first thing that comes to your mind, I have to take a first answer. Right, all right, so, is that fair enough with you?
That's fair enough, yeah.
Reggie, you're going to chime in on these as well.
Yep.
Granted, a couple of days now, Reggie might be a little bit before your time, but look, here we are. John, because you're older, you can answer first. Reggie, you can answer second. Any issues?
No, good to go.
Let's go.
Didn't matter, it was happening either way. So, John, your earliest memory.
My earliest memory would have been the Dulux jersey, the fancy jersey, the 93, 94, I think.
The kind of shiny one.
Yeah, the one that was just brought out there, the old Reds with the amended crest on it. I just remember that jersey. The Dulux dog would have been an early memory for me, the mascot. They're the first two that came to my mind.
Reggie?
My first match. My dad, for his sins, brought me over when I was about, I think I was nine. It was around my birthday. We played Dundalk in the cup here, or in Tolka. And I think they beat us 3-0 or 3-1. It was like Dermot Keighley was the manager. But yeah, that was it.
That might be the worst birthday present I've ever heard a nine-year-old be given.
I've been hooked for life since, haven't I?
Red or white shorts, John?
I would say white shorts.
Reg?
I think Johnny Watson would murder me if I said anything other than red.
Kitman's nightmare. We'll see, actually. I haven't actually asked Johnny what he makes of the the away strip being the colour it is, wouldn't say that's ideal, but I sort the lads out with a bit of stain remover, so we should be all right. John, Riverside or Main Stand?
I love the Riverside for atmosphere, but I've great memories of the Main Stand, so can I say 50-50?
Sitting on the fence, only two questions in, John, but yeah, go on. We'll let you away with that one. Reggie?
I think I'd say Riverside.
Sit or stand?
Stand.
Stand.
Your worst memory following the Reds?
Colin Scanlon scoring for Limerick in 2008.
Any other answer is incorrect. Reggie?
Well, I didn't actually follow the Reds then.
So, you have a very different perspective on a lot of this.
Probably. It's kind of just like that whole few years in the doldrums where we were broke. We had like 100 people at games. We got thumped like 4-0 by Cavan Teely. Probably that one. Getting hammered by Cavan Teely was pretty embarrassing.
John, your best memory following the Reds?
Whoa. Jeez, where do I start? That's a tough one. I think my dad was managing a team, Belvo, at the time, and they did ball boys for the 96 Cup Finals, and we done it for the replay as well in Dalymount, and I was right behind Alan Goff when he saved the penalty, the Pats penalty. But I think that would have been me, even though it was only six or seven, yeah, that would have been probably my favourite that even thinking about now, talking about, just stands out for a mile. And Dave Rogers' goal hitting the back of the net. So again,
two solid answers.
Yeah.
Reggie, you're not going to live up to either of them, I'm afraid, but go on, give it a try.
Probably Drogheda 2019. Pretty good day out, getting promoted.
It's not a bad answer, to be fair. John, your favourite away day? Sorry, John, go on.
Oh yeah, that probably leads on to the next question then. Favourite away day, I don't think anything could be La Coruña, them few days in La Coruña.
Interesting.
It's still remains this. I think you ask any Shells fan that was there. Not that it was win, lose, or draw attitude, but it was special, yeah. Class.
We'll add that to your good memories. So what's your favourite away ground to go to, John?
My favourite, the Brandywell.
Ooh, Reggie.
Tough one. I would say quite enjoy Sligo, actually.
Yeah, Sligo's very vanilla, isn't it, really? It's neither fish nor fowl. It's not fantastic. It's not a dump. It's just nice.
I think the Saturday night, it kind of gives that extra little bit of a buzz if you're staying overnight as well, you know, that adds to Sligo, maybe.
That's a fair point. John, your least favourite away ground?
Least favourite. I want to say Dalymount. Yeah, Dalymount.
Reggie?
Dundalk, Oriel Park, what a dump.
you know what makes it even better? A Monday night in Oriel Park. Thankfully won't be able to make, and I've never been so relieved. John, your favourite takeaway?
I would say a pizza. Nice pizza.
Reggie?
Spice bag.
Oh. John, Monaco or Lily Allen?
Yeah, I'd have to say Monaco.
I'll go Lily Allen.
Pub or club, John?
I was born in Elphalet and still am. I'd have to say a pub.
Reggie?
You know my answer here, Duty, don't you?
Yeah, I do. John, Dino or Willow?
Willow.
I'll say Dino because he was in my lifetime.
John, your favourite away shirt?
Favourite away shirt would have been... was it the 2001? The 2001, yeah, with the white shirt with the red line going across the middle. I think we were wearing it in the 6-4 game away to Dalymount. away the bowls of Daly Mount. Yeah, that's, I always think of that. Or else the cup final shirt in Talca in 2000, the white shirt with the Umbro logos down the sides, you know. The first game it was nil all in Talca. We won the replay 1-0 Daly Mount. But yeah, any of the white shirts, very nice.
Reggie?
I quite like last year's one, especially with the names on the jerseys. I thought that was a nice touch. So I'll go that one.
Bit of recency bias there, maybe.
Yeah. I was thinking that, or even the 2021 one, the Navy. I like that as well. But yeah, definitely a bit of recency bias there.
John, Keely or Nutsy?
No, it's going to be this tough tonight. I love the both of them for different reasons. Here, for the madness, I'd have to say Keely.
I'd say Keely as well.
Nearly there. Your favourite current player, John?
Favourite current player is Luke Byrne.
Reggie, keep in mind the players listen to this, so you could be in the firing line here, Reg, so answer very carefully.
Boydie.
Oh, Reggie, you have a lot of work to do to get back into that man's good books.
No, I met him on Saturday night. We had a little talk.
You met him on Saturday night, Reggie. You're not supposed to hang players out to dry like that here.
Did I mention it a few minutes ago, did I?
Oh, pizza thief. It's not worse than a food thief, Reggie. John, sum up the Reds in three words. Can be individual words or a sentence, whatever you like, but only three words.
Mad. Brilliant. Amazing.
Reggie.
Unique. Addictive. And fun.
I would describe the Reds as a lot of things. Fun, I don't know if that's one I'd use, but you of all people, Reggie, you only know the Reds as quite miserable, really. The last couple of years is as good as it gets for you.
And I still manage to have fun.
Yeah, I often forget that. Well, Stout would help with that, Reggie, wouldn't it?
Big time.
Right, there we go. Now everyone knows the lads a little bit better. I think it's important. Nice icebreaker for you, John, because I know it can be a little bit nerve-wracking coming onto this for the first time. So
I'm always nervous talking to you.
Ah, no. Ah, look. And there was me a few weeks ago singing your praises, saying, John, so easy to talk to you. Couldn't get more approachable, bloke. And look. Here we are.
I want to thank you for that, yourself and Adam. Delighted to be involved and getting stuck into the role and just essentially being the middleman, yeah, for the fans and the club.
Oh, you're kind of first real foray as the SLO. You obviously hosted the fans forum last Wednesday night. The manager was in attendance. Lukey Byrne was there. Andrew Doyle, of course, the chairman. Brian McGovern, Dave O'Connor, and I'm not missing anyone. I don't think, am I?
Did you mention Brian? Yeah, and Keith McDarby was there. Keith Morris, yeah.
Niall Fitz, yeah. And Keith. I knew I was forgetting somebody. How could I forget Keith McDarby? Look, I wasn't able to make it. I had a commitment I had to stay on top of. You two were both there. You both made it down. John, you had to host it. How was that? What was it like hosting the fans forum? Because I know those things can get a little bit frosty sometimes.
Oh, it was all good. It took in my stride. I suppose I was very much prepared for it. It was great to have Damien and Luke there, just to hear from the players' point of view and the management staff. And then to have a Q&A, it was good, kind of set the tone, kind of kept it lighthearted. Damien was great. I asked him questions and Damien does what he does best. He answers with passion and great gusto. And I think some of his responses to the whole room were a bit kind of taken back because of his passion and his drive, his ambition, which was obviously great to hear. And like, obviously thanked him for his honesty and complimented him. Quick chat with Luke as well. I think it's very important. Fans for him are obviously very important for club officials, players and supporters all to get in the same room and meet face to face. If I can be honest, and I will, I think the club, we all suffered a bit of a post-cup final hangover, you could say. There was a bit of uncertainty surrounding the investment, what's happening with the city council side of things as well. So I think it was, ideally we would have liked to have it before the season started, but the bar was still just going under refurbishment, so we had to wait until after the draw of the game. But listen, it was good to host it, great to get everyone there and hear what the club had to say and answer the fans to the questions they had and any queries they had. I think you could say we're still at a bit of a crossroad. The club are still figuring things out. There's going to be a new CEO coming in. There's a new marketing strategy in place. We're going to be employing a full-time community officer as well. I think the club have also admitted that we've kind of, as we were so focused on getting the investment in as well last year, we kind of lost track and lost touch with the community side of things. But when we're comparing ourselves to, which we have to nowadays, the likes of Bowes, Rovers, Pats, they're thriving in their communities, and we need to most definitely get more involved in Fairview, Marino, Drumcondra. And as years gone by, you walk down past Fagans, Drumcondra Road, into Richmond Road, you wouldn't even know there's a game on. I'm not the only one who would think that. So I think this is all in place. It was all discussed at the fans' forum. Brian McGovern spoke about that. And we will have a community officer in place that will further get involved with the local areas. So not forgetting the good work that has already gone in at the moment. With the academies on the northeast side of the city. So it looks at Keulock, Leicester, Raheny, Artane. There's a strong Shells nucleus there. But in relation to closer to Tolka and that more community spirit, that community feel, you know, chosen amount of work needs to be done and will be done. I'm fairly confident of that. I think it's important that we all kind of buy in and stick together. When the new CEO comes in, the new community officer comes in, things be more settled. When we think back of how far we've come in recent years, so long as we keep getting results on the pitch and continue to stabilize ourselves on the pitch in relation to the men's team, we'd be sound, we'd get there. The women's side, obviously flying it as well. Winning the double last year, playing away in Europe, getting through the first round as such. I know we lost a couple of players to Rovers, but you know, we'd be competitive again this year. And I think there's a lot more positives than what would seem negative at the moment. I think the off season was obviously a slow burner, and it's probably very little, people knew very little what was actually going on, myself included. But I think now the season starts, a bit more plan and structure in place. And again, like I said, when the new staff members get involved, you know, we'll see further success off the pitch. So.
Yeah, as you were saying there, that Duffer and Luke were speaking, they were all kind of on the pitch stuff that they addressed. One thing that obviously I should actually mention, Gav Doherty kind of done up a rough kind of summary of what went on the fans forum. So thanks a million to Gav for that, because a lot of people couldn't make it just for various reasons. I went off Gav's little summary he had, so fair play to Gav for that. Just the on the pitch stuff, the kind of around the squad, it's something that I know a few people have asked me about, is that Connor Kane and Jad are back running. kind of back on the grass. They have their boots on again. So, I mean, that's a great sign for a start. Another issue that I know was brought up, and it caused a little bit of, I don't know, with stuff like this, like I know, like we volunteered and doing media stuff, and John, you're the SLO, but when you strip it all back, any of us that you hear from or you see doing interviews or whatever or commentating, we're just fans as well. That's like the thing to remember. Like, we're all volunteers. We, for the 90 minutes, we're all still just supporters like everyone else is. And there was a few issues around the first game of the season that I certainly noticed. One of them was obviously the first couple of rows of the Riverside being barricaded off. Look, that's not ideal for anybody. I mean, nobody wants that. Some of the scenes we've seen in there, like the quarterfinal win home to Bowes, those other big moments during the season, like incredible scenes down those front couple of rows. And but the club's hands were tied on that one, and I'm not going to beat the club's drum for the podcast. I can promise you that. But the club really had no choice in that one. It's a fairly shite situation that it's come up, but like, they're kind of the rules we have to play under.
Yeah, I'd be similar. I wouldn't, you know, I don't like the look of that, you know, first barrier there. Just takes away from the Riverside, the lads standing, everyone standing in the front two rows or whatever it is. But like you said, the club's hands were tied. It was a safety, health and safety issue, and they needed to get a cert. And that's why that was put in place. And the club know the fans were not too pleased with it. And I get the feedback back to the CEO and the board members, and they're actually currently gone in the process of conjuring up a new plan to see what we can do to replace the yellow crush barrier, or else we can bring it down two rows, or else take out the front two rows of seats behind that, because I think it is kind of danger. Listen, if we score tomorrow on Friday night, you know, it could potentially be lethal for some people, especially the younger lads. Again, it's something the club would probably need to act on sooner rather than later. But they are aware of it, and I'm fairly sure that it'll be rectified as soon as possible. And again, it could be a case where the FA might turn around and say, no, that's it. You know, at least the club, once we get communication and transparency. I think that's part of my role as well, for the club to be as honest as possible with the fans. Like, I'm a season ticket holder, just going back to your point as well. We're all fans, we're all volunteers. I renewed my season ticket, you know, I'm still volunteer with the club, and sponsor players, I invest my time and money into it. It's passionate, I'm not looking for a pat on the back, but you know, I'm a fan first and foremost, and that's why I kind of stick and buy that. And listen, whatever queries or issues the fans will have, it's my duty to represent them and to pass the information on, and then ultimately whatever correspondence will be back from the club to pass it back. I also spoke to the club about that myself, and I'm going to have my own opinion on things, and I told fans as well that I can give my own feedback as well. So I'm not necessarily being on the fence or neutral, just again, like I said, I'm a fan first of all, and I'm a season ticket holder, so I'm entitled to express my own thoughts on certain things.
Sorry, John, just as you're saying about like a fan kind of point of view, there's another thing I noticed myself. I seen it with my own two eyes, and it was a bit kind of, it just wasn't really a great look for me, I didn't think. A couple of the lads, obviously won't mention anyone's names, but they went to get their flags from the lockup underneath the newsstand, and they got a bit of grief over it, and it was, oh, well, where are you going, and all this type of stuff. One thing on that to remember, it's a new security firm, I believe, the club are using. So yeah, there'll be a bit of bedding in with that. And like, that was noticed, and I certainly mentioned it, that maybe that needs to be looked at. You know, it's just something to maybe have somebody from the club floating around those areas to be able to say, like, you know, no, no, the lads are grand. They do that every week, or, you know, that type of thing. But it's just...
I went around for the Drogheda game before the match started, and I had a chat with a couple of lads and had a look at myself, and also had a chat with the sergeant who was in charge there, the front row, Garda sergeant, and I just explained, introduced myself and what have you. And I mentioned to him there's a couple of safety concerns in relation to this, and, you know, he was listening to what I was saying. And also talking to one or two of the stewards, I felt as well personally maybe the stewards were a little bit kind of oversell us, and I know the lads are, people are unhappy with, but yeah, they're back behind this yellow barrier, and at the same time these new stewards who are kind of intimidating standing in front of them, maybe, like, you know, can it be something that could be looked at? Absolutely. They're probably, are they going to be, is it the same group of staff for the Bowes game? Will they be briefed to kind of have a softer approach? You know, again, that's to do with the security game. But it's something that if anyone does have any niggles with or complaints, you know, to get in touch with me, and just so I know that I'm aware of that, and I'll do my utmost to put it to the club and to get answers.
On the fans forum, Reggie, you were obviously in attendance just as a fan, you know, you didn't have a specific role. John was obviously hosting the night, so sometimes you can miss things or maybe not get the full picture on things. Sometimes you're thinking about the next thing you need to ask or the next person needs to speak. But is there anything, like, what positives did you take from it? Because you've been to a few of these fans' forums, so you kind of know how they go. What main positives did you take from it? And if you say none, we'll just pack up and go home now.
Well, starting off, like, when Duffer spoke, he spoke about his ambitions for, like, the season ahead, and, like, they're very optimistic, they're very positive. So that was good to hear. Like, he wants to push on. He's not just content with just staying up again. And then Lukey also went and spoke about, like, having unfinished business in the cup. Those two things kind of excited me, I suppose. And then, yeah, it was just positive being, like, the fans being able to ask Duff and Luke questions, telling Luke that he got us relegated a few years ago. yeah. Luke and Duff are kind of combined for a funny story there about leaving when relegated. Luke said he wouldn't be a shithouse and just get us relegated and leave, and then Duff admitted to doing that at Newcastle, so that was quite funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Do you know what? I'm glad the forum happened the way it did and in person, and that Duffer went, because, like, Reggie, we'd be lucky enough that you're around him a little bit more. Not much more now, mind you, but you kind of see him a little bit more in a casual sense. But he's very, very charismatic, and I think everyone looking from the outside, like, if you just see those 2 or 3 minute interviews after a game on a Friday, you might think he's a bit maybe dour, or, you know, just... Like, he's not one for giving cookie-cutter answers, and he's not one for holding back. That's definitely not something you could accuse him of. So I'm glad, like, the people that got to go to the forum would have seen him and kind of see him in that little bit more relaxed atmosphere where he's probably able to be a little bit more honest and kind of let go a little bit. But that seems to kind of be the main gist of it. Like, there's, I know Brian McGovern is, my understanding of it, I think Brian is kind of, will take a bit more of a role on within the club. Seems like he might be a little bit more hands-on going forward. I know a few people who know Brian very well. Not an incident with Brian, but I had good crack in a taxi with him, and I made him laugh with a certain song that I can't sing on here because nobody wants to hear me sing, but I'm fairly sure Brian listens, so I'm sure he'll enjoy that. That was kind of, I think, the gist of it. We're not missing out on any other major stuff. Nothing that we can talk about, anyway.
Yeah, I suppose just to say that the business end of it then, Andrew Doyle just spoke about the situation with Dublin City Council and the ground and Dalemount, and touched on it, that there was a non-disclosure agreement at the moment, and his hands were tied. He couldn't really say too much on it, but he's doing his best to for everything to do with the club. For Shells, it's his best interest, obviously. Talca, Brian spoke about the marketing side of things, the plans that will be in place when we implement the new staff. And obviously going to be seeking more volunteers in that regard. And Dave had mentioned that he is leaving his position as the CEO, and they're currently taking on applications at the moment for his for the new CEO, yeah, with the club. And yeah, we mentioned this that Ross Dunbar had left the club, and yeah, just a couple of housekeeping things that needed to be cleared up. But overall, I thought it was a good night, hugely beneficial, and it left people, I think a lot of people left feeling a bit more satisfied than before they came into the room, myself included, because I was unaware of what was happening and what was going to be taking place in the future. And the club have stated as well, when they find out more what's going to be happening with Talca and in relation to the business side of things with DCC, they'll communicate that and be statements made all in due course. And yeah, I think it's a matter of just being patient at the moment, and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, that's another important point that, again, with the supporter hat on, people just want transparency. They just want to know what's going on. And look, we've all been there before where nobody knew what was going on, and it doesn't help. It just, the rumour mill takes off and everyone starts to jump to conclusions. So, generally speaking, once people are kept in the loop, it's usually an awful lot easier to deal with. But that was the fans forum. That was the gist of it. So moving on to, I don't want to say the important stuff, but on the pitch, obviously we went to Inchicore last Friday. Again, I got stuck watching it on the phone because I had a family thing on. So watching Shells on the telly or phone, whatever, is a horrific experience. But Reggie, what did you make of the game? Well, obviously, look, a 1-0 defeat, it wasn't ideal. I won't show my cards just yet. I want to get your opinion first. What did you make of, obviously disappointed with the result, but what did you make of the performance?
We were pretty good, actually, I thought. First half, we both kind of had chances, but without really having any chances, if that makes sense. I think each keeper had to make a save each in the first half. And then the second half, we came out and we dominated. We had all the ball. We had a string of corners at one stage where it was just going from side to side for the corner taker. But yeah, we just couldn't get that finishing touch. And we were restricting them well. The only chance they had in that second half was, I think, obviously, apart from the goal, they had Lennon had a shot from distance, which Conor Kern saved pretty comfortably. And then the goal was just, it's a bit of a disaster. I thought it was a free out myself. Looked like Paddy Barrett was fouled. But Duffer said it himself in his post-match piece. It's like down to set pieces again. It's something we've struggled with last season, and obviously it's happened again. So hopefully it's something they can fix, and going forward we can put our chances away and not concede from set pieces.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, the set piece. I personally thought we were really, really good. Defensively, we limited them so much. And when you think, I always try to strip it back a little bit, and they're an established Premier Division team at this stage. They're generally always up near the top end. They have a lot more years over us up there at this stage. Obviously, haven't done a whole lot with them years, but you're going to Richmond and for the whole game, you wouldn't have known who was the team, still maybe finding their feet in the Premier Division, who was the team that's been up there so long. We limited them so much. They struggled to break us down. Any chance they have are kind of half chances. I was just gutted we didn't get a result. We were definitely worth at least a point, if not three. I mean, we battered them in that second half. Just couldn't break them down. And maybe similar enough to the draw of the game, just that last little bit of quality maybe just wasn't there. But at the same time, you have no Boydy. And that one, like, I don't know. I'd be lying if I tried to say I know how long Boydy's out for, because I don't. Like, it's probably a little bit, I wouldn't say it's worrying, because the manager seems to have so much faith in Evan Caffrey and in those other attacking options, but it just felt those last kind of, what was it, 10 minutes including the stoppage time, if you had a Boydy there just doing what he does, getting in the mix and disrupting people and annoying people and making people do rash things, might have made a difference. But John, Evan Caffrey definitely is one who I have to say he's not the type of player I thought he was. He's a lot more physical. He's a lot bigger than I thought he was, and
he
played some really good stuff.
He can play in any position, and Duffer knows that. You know, I thought he's only gone 20. You know, he's bags of potential, serious talent. Similar to what you both said there, lads. I thought we're extremely unfortunate, but you know, like any sport, any games, you have to take your chances when they come. What's pleasing is the second, first half we defended well, sat in nice and compact and tight. They limited them to very little. They had Lennon and Forrester dropping deep, picking up the ball, doing diagonals. They were just playing around the periphery of us. Their wingers trying to get past Tyreek or JR. But I thought we limited them, came out and just bossed the second half. I think there's huge potential there. It's great, very pleasing to see. Cam came off the bench. I think when Coyle went off, it was a bit of a change. For, I know it's easy to say that now, but overall, the top of all, the lads were brilliant. Second to none, just couldn't get the rub of the green. I think going back to the draw in the game, if Matty scores that goal, we go on to win that game 2-3-0, set up for the season. And we go into that the other game, the Richmond Park game, and you know, you manage to dig out the result. It's just the extra little bit of confidence. But again, if there's no Boydy the last few minutes, it's there's that focal point up front, that presence, they mix it amongst the defenders. It's just unfortunate that we just couldn't pick something up. But I think plenty of positives. A lot of fans leaving there were pleased. And then they maybe were saying where the goal is going to come from, but they will come 100%. Serious, great talent, and even the new players he brought in, young players, I think there's a good mix there, and they're all hungry and fighting for the position. So, I'll be fairly confident. I wouldn't be worried at all.
And it was funny you say that, John, about people leaving the ground and kind of the humour people were in. When the final whistle went, I went, oh no, here comes the panic now, and where are we going to score goals from? You know, we're in trouble if we can't score. And there was a little bit of that, but not as much as there would have been last. Like, if Boydy got injured last year, for any long period of time, I would have panicked. I would have said, right, we could be in serious trouble here. But, like, the difference even... Go on, sorry.
Last year would have brought all the lads on, you know, tenfold. The experience of playing in the league, and knowing that they have the belief under Duffer, they can compete with anybody. It's just a matter of turning some of them draws from last year, and when we were in games where we might have lost a set piece or silly sloppy goals, if we take a chance at the other end, there's nothing stopping us, you know, competing for fourth or fifth or whatever it may be, as high as possible. But yeah, like you said, if you lost Boydy last year, you're probably like, oh, because it's our first year, we're all still a bit tentative, anxious. But we've nothing to fear, absolutely not, going forward this year. And, I'm excited with the squad, the players he has there. And I know how hungry they are, and they're all determined to hit the ground running. And I think we're going to have another good season, honestly, yeah.
I'd be with you there. Reggie, the bench, I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, and like the difference when you run through our bench now compared to what we were dealing with last year. I mean, like, it's, look, everyone his two eyes, was able to see what went on coming off the bench last year at times. Like, you're replacing, instead of Dan Carr coming off the bench, you know, like, you've a player like Kyle Robinson, who is lightning quick, so, so quick. And the same, you got, like, Keane Levy came on against Pats, made a big difference. Shane Farrell was only good for coming off the bench as well. How important is that bench going to be? Because, like, it's a long season. There's Monday night games. That's going to happen this week, obviously. How important is that bench going to be for us?
Yeah, it's going to be massive. As you said, there was not much to bring off the bench last season. I think Duffer said it himself that he was only really operating with maybe 13, 14 players last season. So, like, there wasn't much changes to be made off the bench, whereas this season now, like, you can see the players coming on actually have an impact. Like, as you said, Kyle Robinson, like, he hit the bar on Friday night, nearly snuck a point for us at the end. I thought Keane Levy was excellent when he came on against Drogheda, and he was good again when he came on against Pats the other night. So, yeah, it's positive that we actually have a squad now rather than a starting 11 plus one or two others that can make a difference. And as the season goes on, hopefully that'll like come to use. Like, already we've seen the Boydie out injured. It's, I think Duffer said he won't be fit for a few weeks. And like the difference between him and Evan Caffrey was obviously the skill level is, there's no difference, but like the different types of player they are is huge. Like, I think Boydie is more of a player to annoy centre halves and keep them occupied, whereas Evan Caffrey was more of a player to come deep and kind of get the ball from the midfield and try and turn and make a pass from there. So it's just interesting to see, like, if they're both fit, if you could work them both into a team as well, play together. So there's loads of options going forward, especially if we've a fully fit squad.
So talking about squad and, you know, the turnaround of games, obviously, look, Bowes at home coming up on Friday night. It's one of those weird, like, it's, I think people like to paint it that we take it more seriously than maybe Bowes would, or, but it's a huge game. It just seems, does that deep rooted dislike between definitely the two fan bases anyway, I don't, like, there's no doubt in that one. Like, it's a massive game. It's a huge game for us, considering, you know, not to jump the gun or be too dramatic, but took us something like 6 games last year at home to win, which wasn't ideal. Didn't help us kind of trying to kick on towards maybe the middle or top of the table. It's one of those weird games. Bowes obviously 1-2 on the bounce. I wouldn't go as far as to say there's an asterisk beside that, because look, going down to Cork on the first day of the season, not an easy game at all. Hosting Dundalk, again, not an easy game, but Dundalk look a little bit all at sea at the moment. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that I don't think is helping. I watched the Bowes Dundalk game back, because myself and Darren Cleary are on commentary duty for the game on Friday, so doing my football nerding, I went on and watched it. Bowes Dundalk game, again, probably putting the hand out to be slapped, but I wouldn't have a massive fear going into the game. I really wouldn't. Like, Dundalk done a lot of huffing and puffing against Bowes, but just kind of, they did break them down. They got in behind a little bit. Two centre-halves were maybe a bit rash at times for Bowes. They can definitely be got at. John, what do you think there? Go on, sorry.
I think we're going to beat them. We didn't beat them in the league last year, and we probably should have them in the games. I think, like you said, Dundalk and Cork, they've conceded late goals in both them games. Talbot made a couple of errors in the Cork game, and Cork could have nicked a draw at the end. Isn't there obviously going to be well up for it, pumped, 2 wins on the bounce? I just have a good feeling that we're going to get a win. We're going to beat them. And I always, going back to the Ollie days, the supreme optimist in me, I'd never, and no Shelburne player should ever fear playing anyone at home, be it Bowes, Rovers, Pats. You know, I think we should always be going out to make sure we win these games, and obviously they will be. But no, I've great confidence in them, based on last week's performance against the Pats and how we competed. Reggie mentioned Keane Levy there. He looks a great player. He'll get, he's getting his finding his feet in League of Ireland. But we Silky Jinky's a tricky player. You have Caffrey and Smith, busy players, players who can get you goals. They'd be probably feeling a bit of pressure from their side of things. You know, winning two on the bounce, they know they've sold out away ends behind them as well. And I have a good feeling that we'll get the job done on Friday.
Reggie, how do you see us approaching the game? We obviously, I wouldn't maybe say we sat back against Pats might be a bit harsh, because when we did get forward, we got forward in numbers, got forward with pace, loads of dribbling at the Pats defence. How do you see us approaching the game? Do you think we might sit in a little bit, try and frustrate balls? Do you think we'll come out 100 miles an hour and try and hit them early? How do you see it panning out?
I'd say we'll go at them, like, be aggressive. Like, last Friday, even from a Pats kick out, like, we'd pushed right up the pitch. Like, we'd the Evan Caffrey, Matty Smith, and Moylan were all, like, on the edge of the Pats box, basically pressing them back as far as they could. I'd say we might try and take a similar approach on Friday night against Bowes. Hopefully we go at them, maybe rattle them early on and get an early goal and see how we go from there.
Yeah, it could be. I would fully expect to see a flurry of yellow cards in the game anyway. There's plenty of needle in the quarter final. Any game we've kind of played against Bowes in the last couple of years, there's been loads of needle. Tyreek, obviously, I'm sure will come in for some lovely, warm, welcoming words from the Ballybock end for making the switch. There'll be little battles kind of all over the pitch. Obviously, Keith Buckley is back. He knows all about Dublin Derby. He knows all about Shells, actually, for that matter. So it's actually, I think, set up to be a really good game.
That's why we love it.
That's it, yeah. Exactly. And look, yeah. I would be big on treat it like a derby. Go out and play with a bit of emotion. You know, go out and obviously don't do anything rash or silly to kind of put us on the back foot. But yeah, definitely get out and have a go. I'd be surprised if we sat back, to be honest. I think that kind of, that attacking edge we have now, with obviously Evan Caffrey gives us something different. Jack Moylan and Shane Farrell, great dribblers. Matty Smith, pace, bit of a wind-up merchant himself. I'd fancy us to get at that balls back four. Like, Keith Buckley played right back against Dundalk. I think he played there in the first game against Cork as well. Like, as good a player as Booker is, he's not blessed with pace, and it's something we are blessed with in those wide areas, is a lot of raw pace. So you'd hope maybe that could cause them problems. The one area I think balls could really be dangerous, and we conceded a few goals from it last year, and Dundalk conceded from it last week, giving the ball away in those kind of midfield areas cheaply. They have pace. Afolabi is quick going forward. Dylan Connolly, look, we know all too well what he gives them is that raw pace. Maybe some people have question marks over the end product there, but he's quick. McDade is quick. Ali Koo looks to play forward all the time. I just worry about that turnover possession. That might be where the winning or the losing of the game is. The other big factor for me, and something I'm hoping is able to happen, obviously Dunfer's hands have been tied, but I'd love to see Gavin Molloy be able to play in the middle, start the game in the middle. Because in the draw of the game, when Gav moved up into midfield, I thought, John, he completely changed the game for us.
He did. For such a young age, he what a player. I think, and Gav would tell you himself, even though he's happy to be in the team, but I think that's his favourite position. I think it's strongest position. And for the team's point of view, we're well complemented in the left wing back, left centre half position, and I think if we push Gavin into midfield, you know, it'll even strengthen us again, right in that position and going forward defensively. He's all rounded, he's top quality, and I think he'll even get better as he progresses under Duffer. I'd be similar. It'd be great to see him in that position, centre mids, or playing further higher up the pitch. It's just a matter of where formation that where he fits the lads in. With Sean now injured, I hear what you're saying about Bowes, the attacking side of things. I think we're solid enough. I think Paddy has had a good start to the season alongside Luke. I think Conor Cairns is handling everything's been good so far. We're wing back. I think we'd be all right. It might be, obviously it's a Dublin derby, be cagey enough. Under the lights, the usual proverbial stuff. But I just have a feeling that our lads have an extra bite in them now, and we've learned lessons from last year, especially with the new players that he's brought in. They'll be chomping at the bit, and I think we'll catch them not on the hop, but we'll be a stronger test than say Dundalk or Cork would be, to see where they're at themselves. But I'm sure it's a challenge they're all relishing at this stage, and I'm looking forward to getting going.
Yeah, just as you said it there, John, about that kind of left side of defence, if you like, I'd probably be surprised if we don't see Cam playing that left-sided centre-half position, just because Bowes do have that bit of pace going forward. Mm-hmm. Dylan Connolly played off the right there on last Friday against Dundalk, so I'd be surprised if we don't see Cam, just for that pace, that kind of over 15, 20 yards. Cameron is a bullet. We've seen that when he came on against Pats, actually. He had a great little mazy run down the left, so I'd probably expect to see Cam. Like, it's nice in a way, Reggie, to be going into these games. You don't, like, the team picked itself last year. I mean, you could name the team easily once we had no injuries. There's a little bit more, maybe, question marks over what way we can go. We kind of have horses for courses this year, but would you expect to see the same 11 on Friday, or could you see Shane Farrell coming back in, or where do you see the team selection go?
I think it could be dependent on injury as well. I know Mark Coyle went off on Friday, so if he's not fit to play, he might, as you said, put Cam into centre back, or the left side of centre back, and push Gav Malloy up there. And then up top, yeah, it's hard to know. Like, if you bring Shane Farrell in, who does he take out? Yeah, we have options, which is something nice, something we haven't really had, as you said, last season. The squad, or the start 11 picked itself, barring injuries or suspensions. So, yeah, it's probably a good headache for Duffer that he has a squad to pick.
We need to get a bit of the rub of the green as well. The last two games, like, you know, we've hit the bar, missed a few sitters, a whole lot. You know, should we have more than 1 point on the board? Yeah, absolutely. But listen, we don't. And I think if we get a bit of luck on Friday night, and just ultimately take our chances when they come. And it'd be a right good kick start to the season then. And, you know, the lads will bounce into Dundalk then on the Monday.
Yeah, you were saying there, John, about taking the chances and stuff like that. Obviously, I wasn't on the pod the week after the draw of the game, so I didn't really get a chance to yap about that. The Matty Smith chance, yeah, look, one of those free things that happens. But Reggie, I did tease with you and the lads about maybe doing some kind of Wally of the Week award for the season coming. And I wanted to get this out there that Colly McCabe, I don't understand that man. I don't know what his issue is. I don't know. But giving the finger to a child is something I don't think I've ever seen at a Shells game. I've seen some weird stuff, so I just wanted to get that out there. It's just really strange. He took like a real, I don't know, a real soft bit of stick off some poor Youngflin down in Section E. I think the Youngflin Section E said he was shy, or like usual kind of stuff.
He told him to hurry up, dude.
Hurry up, that's what it was.
He was running down the clock with about half an hour to go still.
Then he just threw a middle finger at him.
he tried to be sneaky about it as well, and he still got caught.
Yeah, then he kicked the ball at a fan standing. Obviously, the wall is really tight to the pitch down in Section E there. Just, I don't know. I don't get him. I was delighted to see him dropping in the net, though, the following week against Rovers. I enjoyed that, I have to say. But yeah, if I was giving out a Wally of the Week, that would have been him the first week. And I don't know whether you're seeing these developments today, but Bray dropped a complete clanger on their social media today. John, I don't know whether you've seen this or not.
I didn't, no.
Oh, I probably can't really go into the detail of it here, but whoever runs the Bray website is most definitely the Wally of the Week. You click on a link to have a look at, is it their new away jersey or something like that, Reg?
I think someone just said if you click on the crest at the top of the website, like to bring you back to the homepage, it brings you to a different link.
It redirects you, John, to a kind of a link that...
It's not safe for work.
No. You wouldn't want to be clicking on the old work computer now, I'll put it that way. Yeah, he's a definite Wally of the Week. This is going to take getting used to, and I said this to Adam a few times. I'm so used to saying Women's National League or WNL. It's the Women's Premier Division now. So our Women's Premier Division team obviously contested the inaugural President's Cup down the Long Town Stadium last Saturday. It was a 2-2 draw in normal time. Noel Murray and Alex Kavanagh netted. It ran all the way through the penalties. Obviously, we were beaten on penalties. Look, it's that game is what it is. I'd probably say it's the last of the preseason. It depends. If you win it, it's a trophy on board. If you lose it, it's the last preseason friendly. So you kind of take that whatever way you want. But the real business starts for the girls now on Saturday. They're home to Cork. It's a 2:00 kickoff. I'm not going to beat the drum. I always be around the Women's Premier Division team. It's a great day on a Saturday. They deserve all the support they can get. Hopefully we get plenty of bodies out onto the Ballybock end again. Give the girls all the encouragement you can, because, look, it's going to be a tough, tough double defence this year. Rovers obviously have come into the league. Wexford have strengthened. Piemont will always be there, thereabouts. Athlone were a surprise package last year, so it's a very, very competitive Women's Premier Division. As I say, that current razor, it's 2:00 on Saturday. You get in for free with your season ticket. If you can't make it down to the game, it's live, as always, on LOI TV. So do either watch online, get down, get behind the girls, get their title defence off to as strong a start as we can. Another couple of bits. The 19 season, the men's under-19 season started last week. They got a nice 2-1 win in the Ringsend Derby up in the AOL against Rovers. Bemi Arubi was on the score sheet. Bemi was in around the first team for pre-season. Talented young fella. And Michael Keane's got a really late winner from either a corner or free kick. I think it was a corner. So, good start for the lads. Look, it's... That 19th has proven to be very important for us over the last while. It's added depth around the squad this year. It did the same last year. We all see where Steph Negru went. So I'd encourage anyone, if you can get out and have a look at the 19th, definitely do. It's kind of the last step before the first team. Duffer has shown plenty of times he's more than willing to give those young lads an opportunity. So if you ever can, they play their home games up at the AUL. It's well worth a trip out there to have a look at the next kind of the next couple of bodies hopefully coming through. Just to mention that as well, David Torre played that game for the 19s. Great to see him back in competitive games. He obviously had a really bad injury last year. I think he could have probably featured a bit more around the first team had he not got the injury. So
definitely, yeah.
Yeah, nice to see David back in around competitive football. The 17s got a 1-0 win away to CK United. For anyone that doesn't follow the League of Ireland Underage, that's Carlo Kilkenny. So if you see CK United knocking around, that's what it stands for. The 17's got a good 1-0 win away. They're awkward places to go to, and Aaron Maloney popped up with a goal in that one. To save any grief that I could possibly get for this, I'm going to give out the 17's and 19's results. Anything below that, I think, is still... You're really in that development kind of stage. Look, 17's, 19's, still development football, but that winning edge, you're kind of allowed to have it at that age, so... That's the only reason. It's not because I'm don't like people or I don't want or late. It's nothing like that. It's just I feel 17s on is kind of a fair age to start that at. The women's underage leagues or girls underage is back next week, as far as I know. I don't think the Shells teams are playing this week, so we'll give out details on that. Fixtures for the 19s, they're away to Waterford on Sunday, and the 17s are at home to Bray. At 2:00, that's up in the AUL. So again, if you're at a loose end on Sunday, looking for something to do, get yourself up to the AUL. It's well worth it. Oh, sorry, one more thing to mention. I've done a lot of talking here with not much reply, so sorry about that, but I'm getting through my bits and pieces. We had a few young Reds involved in international duty. Ali Topchew and Finn Sherlock played for the Republic of Ireland 15s. They got a 4-0 win against Wales. That was it today or yesterday? I don't remember, but it was either today or yesterday. So well done to the two lads. Probably doesn't get much better than representing your country, and they've ticked that off the list at under 15, so definitely plenty of potential there. Lads, any other bits of business you want to address or bring up? Now's your chance. Have your say.
Yeah, no, that's, I think it's good to obviously give the academy scores their stay, and obviously the ladies side of things as well. I think it is important that if people can get to the games to support the underage setup of the club. You know, we have some serious talent coming through. And like you mentioned there, Steve, Duffer won't be hanging around. If he sees you're good enough and capable enough, you'll be in the squad. So these young lads know that. So, you know, they're willing and able, and they know they're going to be watched. So kind of gives them an extra incentive to go one step further. But no, everything looks good. In relation to the ladies, I think the President's Cup was is the inaugural season. To have a crowd of over 1,400, it was brilliant. I know the result didn't go our way. You know, to lose out on penalties is just one of those things. They're happy to get into the new season, and they've Noel has brought in new players as well, so they probably will need time to settle in. And everyone, all the other teams, like you mentioned, be competitive. They'd be all kind of out to get us and go on better than us. But no, plenty, lots to look forward to, plenty of football, and it's great to have all these teams at our disposal and representing the shirt.
Something else, actually, I need to mention, and you won't find it done very often, but one thing that the FAI have definitely improved upon or have dished out is the FAI Connect. Most people don't actually seem to know it exists, to be honest, because I didn't until I was asked, well, until I was hinted at for me to work on it last Friday. It's basically, it's effectively like a flash score or a live score type thing for Irish football, but it's really good. It gives you like the referee, who's refereeing what games. It gives you fixtures. It gives you live updates during the games. It gives you all the underage fixtures, which they were hard to come by for a long time. There was no one-stop shop for all the underage fixtures in the country. It's a very, very good app, to be fair, and I'll give credit where it's due. I have no problem baiting them when they need to be baited, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And Reggie, I think you're going to be in charge of that actually on Friday, because me and Dazzler are going to be up the gantry. So you can enjoy doing that, because trying to judge what type of a yellow card is given is very, very difficult. So good luck to you with that one. But
yeah, I was doing it on a Friday against Pats, but I didn't realise that I wasn't told that it was only the home team that have to do it.
So yes.
I accidentally sent off Tyreek. Because he'd already been carded by whoever Pats were doing it. But yeah, I'll have to do that on Friday.
Yeah, you'll have to pull your socks up, Reggie. You've got a lot of heavy lifting to do on Friday. A lot of heavy lifting.
Nothing new there, Duty.
No better, man.
John, score prediction for Friday, please.
2-0, Shelt.
Goal scorers.
Evan Caffrey, Matty Smith.
Ooh. Reggie.
I'm gonna go 1-1.
Yeah, pig.
Jack Moylan with the goal in front of the Ballybock end.
Ooh, blow more kisses maybe.
Yeah. Getting more bottles shown up.
I'll go 1-0, Luke Byrne. Finally do the business. Luke, he's actually approaching his 100th game, I believe, so That'd be an interesting one. I think it's the weekend of the Rovers game. If he plays in the next couple. Obviously, you need to stop that. This is like the absolutely incident all over again. Monday, we are away to Dundalk, one of those midweek games, one of those Monday games that's wedged into the early part of the season for God knows what reason, even though we have the longest off season in any league of Europe. But it's probably not where you want to be going on a Monday night. That could work out being a very interesting one, depending on how the result goes on Friday. But we'll give that a proper review. We'll go more in-depth with the Dundalk game on next week's pod. There will be a pod. I know we used to not do it last year if there was a Monday night game. But look, we've loads of bodies on board now. There's more than enough people that can fit in. Sometimes there won't be square pegs and round holes. But look, we'll get something out for you next week. We'll review Dundalk. We'll review Bowes. And we will preview... Reggie, you're the stat man. Who are we playing the following week?
I'm not a stat man, but I believe it's Rovers at home.
Yeah, see, stat man. John Brennan, thanks a million on your well done on your pod debut.
Pleasure, Dooley. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Reggie, as always, thank you.
Cheers, Dooley.
Up the Reds. Good luck.
This podcast was brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset. Way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one.